back to episode 96 of the Red Seat Podcast. This is your host, Jake Devereaux, and today I am joined by both Brian Joyner and Matt Collins of Over the Monster to discuss the Red Sox playoff series, the ALDS. It is finally upon us. But the big news today, I have to say, is something that I know Matt's real happy about, is Kyrie has announced his plans to stay with Boston at the end of the year. And this is kind of fitting, I think, as we open up a playoff series against the New York Yankees, because Knicks fans were really getting themselves in a lather about this guy coming to New York.
No Knicks fan actually expected that to happen.
Yeah, they don't expect good things to happen.
Yeah, a real Knicks fan expects nothing but pain.
I guess I saw except
they believe in Porzingis. The real Knicks fans, they really, and with good reason.
Well, they should, yeah.
Yeah.
But I think they believe he's really good and he's also going to get hurt every year.
No, they believe in him. I know, due to my geographic location, I know some real Knicks fans. Like, some of them are my best. Some of the Knicks fans are my best friends, guys. it's all Porzingis. And the two pillars of the team are Porzingis and Dolan selling. So the second will never happen. So
yeah, that's never gonna happen.
Putting on.
Do you think Kyrie's timing was trolling at all because the Red Sox Yankees are about to kick off?
No, I don't think it has anything.
He was meeting with the season ticket holders, right?
Yeah, it was a season ticket.
I don't really take it that seriously, anyways. I mean, things can change.
Oh, but if he goes back on this now, he's gonna be villain number one.
No, but watch this. Ainge could trade him tomorrow, and Ainge would not be villain number one.
I don't think Kyrie cares about anything like that.
I don't know, but I'm happy about it. But anyhow.
You're sick, too. We should note that you and Matt are both sick.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do the heavy lifting today, and I apologize in advance.
Red Sox-Yankees is finally upon us. Matt wrote today a column about the few times that the Red Sox and Yankees have met in the playoffs.
Did you know it was only three?
No, I was shocked.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, when you think about this rivalry, you think it's, you know, you just think back forever, but I guess it wasn't really a rivalry up until like the 90s.
Well, no, it was a rivalry before that, but the rules just didn't allow it to happen for a long time. It couldn't happen before the
wild card.
Yeah, and then even before the second wild card, they couldn't play in the division series.
That's right.
It's eliminated another round for it to happen. So it makes sense. I was just surprised.
I'm actually not sure that I agree.
Wait, this is the third time, so the only other two were 2003 and 2004?
No. This is the fourth time. And it's 99, too.
Oh, yes, I remember that. Thank you, Rod Beck.
Rod Beck was awesome.
I mean, I love him, but that was a tough spot.
I actually don't think it was a rivalry before the 90s, though, and here's why I'll say that. I think, you know, 78 was the thing, but the Yankees kind of stunk for a while in the 80s, and then, you know, the Red Sox...
Jake, you say that, and I used to make that argument around my friends in New York, and some of them know they're very informed baseball fans. Mm-hmm. Did you know that the Yankees won the most games out of any team in the 80s?
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
It's
I guess
crazy.
It's just
they were just bad in the
them.
Late 80s when people were like people roughly our age, because we're 10 years apart, were paying attention.
Mm, okay.
Or born in your case.
Well, I guess the other thing I would say is just that the Red Sox only recently ever won back-to-back division titles for the first time in their history. So the Yankees just were doing a whole shitload more winning than the Red Sox ever were.
You could have also gone with World Series titles.
Well, yeah.
And that they didn't win one for...
There's still been animosity between like the teams and the fans, though. I think that defines a rivalry more than anything.
Okay.
It wasn't a rivalry until like 2005. The Yankees fans got worked up by Boston fans, but they did not give a shit about Boston.
I
was here.
Trust me.
I was here. They did not give a flying shit about us.
Okay. So it's after the first World Series is when they started to really care.
I would honestly say that after the second one is when they started to really care, because
We say the
anyone can
first,
win
but
one.
you know, in modern
You know,
times.
I did, but like,
Well, you know what? I don't
I
care
wrote
about that.
about this earlier this year that even 2013, because you could chalk it all up to Poppy. Like if you were a desperate Yankees fan, and this is the way they look at it through the lenses of stars. I don't blame them because they've had all of them, but they're like, oh, that was all Big Poppy, which is why this team is so important to me. And this series is so important to me. So
Okay,
let's talk about this series.
so this is the Red Sox team that can prove that the Red Sox can hang without Big Poppy.
Well, no, they've already proven it. I think this is, and they're, this is, I wrote this column earlier in the year. This is the team I've waited my whole life for. There's no baggage. It's straight up our team versus your team. Nothing else matters. It's been 15 years where we've been better, and recency bias, let's even the scales totally. Bing, bang, boom. Game one tomorrow, today, when you listen to this.
Yeah, it sure doesn't get much better than this either. Red Sox coming in at 108 wins, franchise record. Yankees coming in at 100. Yankees did take care of business. Severino in the AL wildcard game against the Oakland A's. Did you guys have any thoughts on that game? Did either you get a chance to watch it?
I fell asleep in the second inning. So, no.
Bry?
I tuned in for the first time in like the fourth inning, or no, in the third inning, right when the Yankees were done scoring four runs in a row. And I immediately turned it back off.
Yeah, Judge came early and fast with the kill shot, and that
Yeah, I
was.
saw that home run, and that was about it.
It's incredible how much power that team has, and I don't think we've mentioned it on the podcast, but they have set a record for most home runs of any team ever in a single season. So, they can kill you. They can kill you real quick, and that was evident. And I was actually thinking before the game started that the A's were. You know, a team with a really good shot to win that game. I thought the bullpen thing was going to be kind of interesting, but I wonder if they screwed up by putting Kyle Hendricks first because he's far from the
Liam
best reliever.
Hendricks.
Liam Hendricks, yeah. He's far from the best they had.
Yeah, that was weird. They have like a lot of good relievers. Liam Hendricks isn't really one of them.
What about
So
Liam Hemsworth? Is he one of them?
he is, indeed.
He's a good-looking man.
I would have started. What's his name? Petit Pettit. I don't know how to say
Yusmeiro
his name.
Petit?
Yeah, I love that
What?
guy.
You as Matt, I love him. He's a
He's the man.
that dude just sticks around.
Wasn't he on
He
the
sticks
Giants
around
for a
the
bit?
smart teams.
He's a Sabian guy, right? Brian
Oh, what?
Sabian?
He was with the Giants for a while.
Yeah, he was with the Mets to start,
Oh, really?
late in the minors, like way back.
He's been all over the place.
So, did you guys hear the thing about Cashman and Bean being out to dinner during that game?
No.
I heard something. I don't know if it's true, but I heard that they were out to dinner and didn't know the results of the game. Like, they decided to just go out and eat instead of painfully watch the game.
Wasn't that Billy Bean's thing? He doesn't watch the games?
Yeah.
Or is that just like a Moneyball myth?
No, I'm pretty sure that's a thing. That's a
Yeah.
thing that he doesn't do. But it would have been kind of funny to be the server and like come over and be like, "Hey, Judge and Chris Davis have home runs. Wouldn't you like to know what happened?"
Probably get fired immediately.
Yeah, probably so. So I guess let's get to it. Tale of the tape between these two teams. The starting pitching has been announced, even though the Red Sox official ALDS lineup is not yet out. Cora said it was going to be out today. As we record this yesterday, but then he decided not to put it out today. Pitchers are going to be as follows. Game one's going to be J.A. Happ versus Chris Sale. Game two is going to be Masahiro Tanaka versus David Price. Game three is Rick Porcello versus Luis Severino. And game four is C.C. Sabathia versus Nate Eovaldi. The one thing to note here is that Price is going to get to go at home as well as Chris Sale. Which I think is good considering Yankee Stadium. What you guys think about that?
I mean, I think Price would have started game two no matter what, but it's definitely better that he's at Fenway.
Yeah. Any thoughts on those matchups early on? Like any of those that you feel really good about or feel really bad about?
I like when Chris Sale pitches.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean,
Knapp is a killer though.
The problem is that the problem insofar as we have to fill a podcast is that these teams play each other all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And they're just playing again. I think that what I take out of it is if, to me, I look at the Red Sox season, the only aberration is like the first 2 weeks of September. Much more likely to write that off as the aberration that has passed. And I guess that the end too, the aberration that has passed and that they're going to go back to just mulching teams right now. Now, that's convenient for me to think that, but I think that that's the smart take, at least.
You think your take is smart?
I think my take is smart, but I don't know because I'm not smart enough to know.
Fair enough. I would say in terms of the pitching matchups, game two, I feel the best about. The Red Sox have smoked Tanaka all year. Game three, I feel the worst about, especially if Severino looks like he did last night. It's a little scary. Porcello at Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, but I agree with you. But Porcello is just...
Yeah, you never know with him.
Out of all the guys, you just got to put him out there.
Oh, absolutely.
Because wasn't his the best game of his career against the Yankees this year?
Yes, I was at that game.
Yeah, that was. Oh, you were, of course.
Yeah. Hey, how many of these games are you going to, Jake? You go to like every fucking Red Sox Yankees game.
I did. I don't have tickets to any of these, but I did go to every one of the three Red Sox Yankees series at Fenway this year, at least one game.
What an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, it was
Matt,
a good year.
In 2002 and 2003, I went to every regular season Red Sox Yankees game at Yankee Stadium.
I've never been to a Red Sox Yankees game.
I sat in the bleachers every time. It was something. And then I was at Game 7 in 2003. That was.
Oh, that sucks. I think you told me that before, actually.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Anyhow, that's a great game to have been at, Jake, but it is proof that when Porcello has it, even the Yankees cannot get to him. Yeah. I mean, that was – I mean, there's nothing – there's no way around it. The Yankees are an amazing team. I mean, Emma Bacciarieri of Sports Illustrated picked them to win the World Series. And it's not crazy. I mean, they're great.
It's definitely not crazy.
Do you guys know what the breakdown was of – Red Sox wins versus the Yankees at Fenway versus on the road?
No.
Because they won the season series 10-8, right?
They did. Yeah. I don't know what the breakdown was.
Because they have the four wins from the big sweep that basically won them the division.
Yeah.
And then they only took one of three in the last series of the year. The first series of the year, I was at a win, so I know they won at least one of those. That was the Sale Severino game in April. So that's at least five wins. But I'm not sure. So I know that they had more wins at home than they did on the road.
Looks like they had seven wins at home. I think.
So this could be important. Right. I mean, if the Red Sox are starting at home, they're well rested. They play better at home. Fenway is not the easiest place in the world for lefties to pitch in, even though J.A. Happ's been good. I think that those first two games are certainly winnable. And if you're in game three, like Brian said, I think Brian makes a really good point about this. Like being on the road in New York, why not Rick Porcello? Like out of anybody else, like he gives you just as good of a chance to sneak one out as any of those other guys.
I mean, I think the Red Sox are as good a team as any in baseball. Their rotation is not the Astros. And if you're not the Astros, having Rick Porcello as the guy that goes out there, that's good. You know, that's pretty good.
He's going to have a really short leash, too. I mean, if he's not, they have Wright and they have Rodriguez in that bullpen. They can both go long if they need to.
I'm a little surprised in some ways. I guess that
they, I mean, Wright and Rodriguez had his own amazing start in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah,
exactly. Porcello's was at home, but Wright was, but Rodriguez was in Yankee Stadium. You know.
Well, that's what I was gonna say is just that Rodriguez has been really good at Yankee Stadium in his career, so I'm a little surprised that they decided to go with Porcello instead of him.
I think it's already. I think it's a righty lefty thing.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that. I just think that performance-wise, it's kind of surprising because Porcello hasn't had a great record at all in the playoffs. He's been shit in the playoffs.
No, I don't think they were ever going to keep him out of the rotation.
How short do you think that leash will be, though?
Very.
Like, first inning he runs into trouble, is Erod warming up?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess it depends on the first two games go. But, I mean, as long as Sale and Price go relatively deep, yeah, I think they'll get somebody up pretty quick if Porcello looks like he's struggling early on.
So that game you feel good about, though, game two, Tanaka versus Price, those guys couldn't be much more different in terms of the postseason success they've had.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
You got to explain that. How do you not take that into account at all?
I mean, the Red Sox have always been able to hit Tanaka. It's the same reason I'm worried about them against Happ in game one. They've always struggled against him. The Red Sox have always hit well against Tanaka. I mean, I'm a little worried about Price, just like I'm a little worried about everyone in this rotation, I guess. But I'm not, I could easily eat these words. I'm not super worried about the Red Sox offense against Tanaka.
Brian,
I agree. I mean, I'm totally with Matt, and if anything, I'm a little bit less afraid of Happ, not because he hasn't been great against them, but just because you're an old guy and you're trying to spin some magic again against a team that has two MVP candidates who are righties, you know? So, I mean, hold on. They don't really have two MVP candidates because Mookie is winning the MVP. So technically, like, you can't, there isn't a second candidate. Or if there was, it would be.
So if you guys had to give an advantage one way or the next, starting pitching, who has it for the series?
The Red Sox.
The Red Sox very slightly.
See, here's the thing, but I guess I'm counting Erod in the quick backup category.
Yeah, I don't know if you knew that.
Well, I did, so. All right,
fair enough.
What about that fourth game, though? That's a really interesting one because Sabathia has been a Red Sox killer, but Eovaldi has actually done really well against the Yankees this year. That's an interesting matchup in its own right.
See, that right there is the small sample size, just like Bonanza. Not that Sabathia has a small sample size against the Red Sox or anybody. But he, the Eovaldi against the Yankees as a Red Sox is obviously a small sample size. But I think for a game four, that's totally fine. That's just like, you know what? Go for it. See what happens. And then you back it up very quickly if it doesn't work.
Yeah, I feel like game four is like, I mean, at that point, whoever's down 2-1 in that series is going to manage that game totally different. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if one of those guys isn't replaced by the game one starter. And if not, they're going to manage it. Like, I mean, it's an elimination game. So at that point, I think the starting pitching kind of goes out the window because it's somebody's going to be managing for their life at that point.
This is provided the Red Sox don't sweep.
Well, I said if there's a game four. Somebody has to be down 2-1.
All right, so you both say advantage Sox there for starting pitching. I'm going to say starting pitching, man, I want to say even, but I'll go Sox. I'll go Sox barely. Bullpen, this is where we've talked about it a lot this year. How big of an advantage is the New York bullpen over the Boston bullpen here?
It's definitely an advantage.
Well, I think a better way to say it is like the bullpen is better.
Okay.
It's a but well, no, but what I mean is like it's a potential advantage. It has to come into play.
Well,
It's
sure.
not like, and it's also situational. So like, it's definitely a positive, relatively for New York. But, it has to come up for it to matter. And it will come up in some way, but it's just a function of how often it comes up to determine how big of a role it plays. So I'm not as worried about it as I could be for that reason.
No, with two offenses like this, it does seem like bullpen's going to get some run.
Yeah.
Except for we just talked about how good the starting pitchers were, you know? Like,
oh, no. Let me correct that a little bit. I definitely think that these teams are even in starting pitching, but I don't feel necessarily good about either of these teams starting pitching against each other, if that makes sense. Like, I think the starting pitching is good, but I think that there's going to be a lot of bullpen action in this series.
No, definitely.
Yeah, the starting pitching is good, and the hitters are just better. That's what it is.
The Red Sox have always hit well against the Yankees relievers too, which is weird because it feels like there's too much talent for that to keep going. But I mean, they've always done well. I think the X factor for the Yankees is Zach Britton, because I mean he hasn't been that great since coming over, and he goes through like these stretches where it looks like he's back, and then he falls right back where he can't hit the zone anymore. So if he's still not pitching well, I mean that makes their bullpen a lot less scary. So hopefully he pitched last night. I don't think he pitched very well.
No, he didn't.
I just like the box score. Yeah, so hopefully, I mean, if that continues, the Yankees still have the better bullpen, but it's not as big of a gap as like the name value would suggest, I guess.
I 100% agree with that. I think the Red Sox have had a lot of success against this bullpen, and I've been kind of on this for a while now, is that the Yankees bullpen is much more name value than it is actual on the field value.
Well, Betances has come back to his name value, in fairness.
Yeah, true. Betances has been great lately.
But I do think Betances has not been Betances versus the Red Sox.
Well, and Chapman has never been Chapman. Or has been bitten by the Red Sox.
So, I mean, is this as close because of the Red Sox relative success against the bullpen as, say, the rotation is? Or is this still sort of a big advantage for the Yankees?
There's a scenario where the Red Sox can play up to the Yankees or even, like, surpass them with their bullpen. But it's not the most likely scenario. I mean, if Barnes looks like the first half Barnes, if Brazier is the best version of himself, if Rodriguez is like an absolute monster, and there's a lot of ifs, but the Red Sox have the potential to be that bullpen. But the Yankees, I mean, this is a clear advantage for them, whatever way you slice it. Even if it's not as big as some other people might suggest, it's still there.
Brian, you feel the same way?
I was looking at Instagram pictures of my kids. I wasn't listening.
You're the only right healthy there. One on here, Brian. Come on.
It's a great picture. I took it. I can't explain it. It's very great. Anyhow, I disagree with you, Jake, and I agree with Matt.
I didn't actually say anything.
Okay, well, then you know where you now you know where you stand, too.
All right. Well, the Matt and Brian agreement continues. Let's get to the lineup. This is where it gets interesting. Catcher, we have Sandy Leon and Blake Swihart. I guess we can throw Vasquez in there as well, versus Gary Sanchez and Austin Romine. Which crew do you like better there, guys?
Yankees, easy.
Yeah, I agree. Not really any question there. And Matt,
you know who would question it, really?
Who?
Yankees fans.
Yeah.
Well,
they
right.
hate Gary Sanchez.
But Sanchez still has like a 130-something WRC plus versus lefties this year.
Do you think Yankees fans know what WRC plus is? They don't know what hot water is.
Oh, man. Killing them. I love it. Matt, you wrote about this in the position piece today. Is there any extra insight in the numbers that might steer us one way or the next on this one?
Sanchez is better than he's been bad this year. He's put up a 89 WRC plus. He's definitely better than that. But the way he's hitting, he's not that much better than that. But still, Sandy Leon would kill for an 89 WRC plus.
So you're saying it's pretty much a coin flip at this point. Who's going to have a better career, Blake Swihart or Gary Sanchez?
Sure. All whatever right. Gets us to move on from this topic.
First base, Mitch Moreland and Steve Pearce versus, excuse me, Luke Voit, who is apparently some sort of demigod now, and maybe Neil Walker backing him up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Probably the Red Sox, unless Luke Voit is still a Gorgon.
It's so weird. I kind of think it is too, but wouldn't
Luke Voit in Yankee Stadium.
I don't know, man. Luke Voit hasn't really been like a Yankee Stadium product. He's just been like a out of his mind. Like he feels like a guy who's gonna come crashing back down to earth, but I think it's gonna happen next year. I'm a little worried this is gonna carry all the way through October.
I also feel like he's the guy who could fall flat on his face in October.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely see that. I think this is close, and I mean, I think it just depends on how much you believe in.
I feel like this doesn't matter. This is like, it could end up mattering, but as far as like trying to rank it, it's a very, you know exactly what you're getting from the Red Sox.
I disagree, though. I think an inordinate amount of the Yankees' offense has come from Luke Voit over the last month, so I don't think you can discount it. I think it's, he's been the engine.
Yeah, he's
could.
A big part of their offense right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, things happen in baseball for 6 weeks or so, or less, and then they stop happening.
But we haven't seen this stop happening yet.
Right. Well, but it's about time. The Red Sox lost a lot of games too. It's about time for them to stop doing that.
Brian, I'm gonna translate this for you. You are wrong. You're wrong about Luke Voit.
I don't know what that means.
All right. I'm going to say clear advantage here, Yankees.
See, that's crazy to me. You're looking at the last month and saying they have a clear advantage now.
Okay, Moreland hasn't been good since before the All-Star break.
And yes, but he's been good for more than a month in his life.
Yes.
I'm not saying you're wrong. Like you could end up being right, but this is very recency biasy.
But we're in the recent times. That's
I understand that, but as you know, tomorrow is another day.
I think I lean towards the Yankees too. I don't think it's a clear advantage like Jake says, especially because the Yankees are scheduled to throw a couple lefties, and Steve Pearce is obviously a lefty killer. And I also wouldn't be terribly
surprised.
Why
would that be good for the Yankees?
No, it's good for the Red Sox. Yeah, it makes it closer. I also wouldn't be super surprised to see Brock Holt maybe sneak in at first base. And if we're talking about guys who have been hot over the last 6 weeks, I mean, he's been red hot. So if he's in there, maybe I feel a little differently, which is crazy to say. But I don't know. I just feel like Voit, like I said, I feel like he's not going to slow down until next year. I mean, but I'm really not facing that on anything.
I just feel like this is the hardest one to judge because Voit is just a wild card. So it's just,
yeah, he definitely
is. Basically just predicting what he's going to do.
Yeah, pretty much.
The next spot, second base, is Ian Kinsler versus Gleyber Torres. I think we'd all agree this is a clear advantage for the Yankees, but I wonder, going off what you just said, Matt, about
yeah, I don't
Holt.
Know if Kinsler's definitely the starter.
Right, I'm wondering.
I think it'd Holt's be Kinsler and Holt, run. Depending on the hand of the pitcher.
Yeah, I could see that a little platoon there.
Well, Kinsler definitely gives you the better defense, right? But
for sure.
Holt's swinging a hot bat right now, and you need all the offense you can get, so I don't know which of these guys, if you're guessing, has the more playing time in the series.
I think Brian's right. I think it's going to be a straight-up platoon.
Well, I think Holt has more playing time in the series because he doesn't just play second. But I would guess Kinsler plays more second in the series.
I still don't feel that bad about Kinsler, like the same way I do when, you know, Vasky or Leon comes up to the plate. Because
yeah, I mean, I might as well be coming to the plate when Leon's coming to the plate.
Right, but, no, but I Kinsler like it. He gives you a professional at bat even when he's struggling. Like he takes
pitches. I feel like the playoffs are a great time for Kinsler to show that off.
Right.
Yeah, he's not going to get cheated in the playoffs. He's not going to look like a chump.
I hope not. I don't really feel great about Kinsler right now, but that could be recency bias.
For those counting at home, we have three advantages Yankees so far in the lineup right now and the bullpen. Not great, Bob. Third base, Devers and Nunez versus Miguel Andujar. Matt, who you got?
I think you have to go the Yankees again. I don't think it's like a slam dunk, but I mean, based on what they've done this year, I think you have to go Andujar.
I agree, but I also think this is sort of like first base. Because if Devers hits the ball, that changes it 100%.
Devers obviously has the upside, and it's not like unrealistic upside to just go crazy.
Yeah, I think you got to give slight advantage New York, and I agree with both of you, even Brian, that this is a slight advantage, very much like first base. Shortstop, our first win maybe, Bogey versus Didi. I'm going Bogey here.
Except for you know how Matt loves Didi.
I do love Didi, but I think you got to go Bogarts. I think it's close. Don't get me wrong. Didi's great. He's definitely better defensively too.
They're both good baseball players.
Yeah.
This is a tough one for the Yankees to lose on, but fuck them, they lose.
Yeah, Red Sox with Bogey and with runners in scoring position, yes, please.
Didi's another Team Netherlands guy too, right?
Yes.
A couple of Netherlands guys.
Yep.
Actually, Didi's actually from the Netherlands. I didn't know that.
A couple of products of European imperialism. So yeah. Left field. Benny versus Kutch.
Benny. I don't think
it's Benny by a mile.
I don't think it's by a mile.
It's by okay. It's by 20 feet less than a mile.
Well, that changes everything.
That's a 20-foot win. That's what I'm hearing.
Kutchin's been really good.
He has been.
The Yankees.
Yeah, I mean his destiny was to be on the Yankees from.
No, it wasn't.
10 years.
But that no, happened. Okay. No way.
My best friend since college is a Yankees fan. He lives here. And he said literally 10 years ago, he's like, he needs to be the Yankees center field. He needs to be the Yankees
center field. They say that about literally every good
baseball. No. He had a hard on for McCutcheon.
Listen, so anybody with McCutcheon's hair.
I personally have been hearing about this for a long time. Whatever. I'm not surprised you're good on them.
He's been really revitalized by this lineup.
Yeah,
but, I still go Benny, but I think it's pretty close.
I think Benny's got him by miles in actual talent at this point in their careers, but Kutch has been on a ridiculous heater lately, and Benny's actually been pretty cold. So I unfortunately think this is going to play a little closer than it should be.
I think that Benny is really good at situational baseball, so I think that'll help. By the way, Tom Brady is 14 for 15 tonight. I just want to point that out.
That's good. That is good. JBJ versus Aaron Hicks, two of the center fielders with the most rockety of rocket arms out in all of baseball. This Hicks. Is going to be nice defensive play here.
Hicks.
Yeah, agree. Offense carries it for Hicks. He had almost 30 home runs this year.
Hicks is awesome. I think He's it's a Hicks, baller. Too. I think it's closer than you guys are giving it credit for, though.
Whoa. I didn't give him a margin, okay?
Well, you guys are just so quick with it. And you're ready to move on. I think Bradley's a significantly better defensive player. And I know Hicks is really good. I think Bradley's just that much better.
You think Bradley is better defensively than somebody?
Significantly better.
Mm. I agree with you, Matt.
Keyword, though.
I think he's a lot better defensively. And offensively, I think we got to give JBJ some credit. He's been a different player in the second half.
Yeah. So. I mean, Hicks just draws walks in, like, every other at-bat. And so that right there, I think, gives him the edge because he's always on base. But Bradley's not that much worse.
All right, so we're going edge Yanks, but barely. Right field, Betts versus Judge. There's no question here, right? We're going where everybody's going, Betts.
Obviously.
Yeah,
just crazy. Here, Judge.
It's crazy. It's crazy that the first no-doubter for the Red Sox is against Judge. Aaron Judge.
Maybe these are the two best players in the series.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, it's fun that they're at the same position, and they're also the exact opposite in terms of size of human being.
I do think it is worth noting, though, Judge has had significantly more postseason success than Betts has had. Judge has been an absolute animal in the playoffs.
Well, he's played one more series than him, or two more series.
Well, he's also had the benefit of playing, well, benefit, not really, but he has played three wild card games at this point, too, or at least two wild card games. He's homered in both of those.
Yeah, he's played 14 playoff games. Mookie has played... Sorry, Baseball Reference is going really slow. Seven. I mean, Mookie's played seven playoff games. I don't really think we should care at all about how he's played the postseason. And he hasn't been, like, terrible. He was decent last year. I mean, he wasn't bad.
But we got to give Judge some props for how good he's been in the playoffs, too.
Sure. I mean, it's 14 games, and that's definitely not nothing, but...
The Brewers won. You already knew this, but the Brewers won.
DH, J.D. Martinez versus Giancarlo Stanton. The Tony right. Nass.
Okay, next.
Can we just talk about that tweet that Matt sent before the year about with that picture of Giancarlo Stanton saying J.D. Martinez doesn't look like this or something like that?
That's the equivalent of the Mike Lombardi, Doug Peterson Super Bowl head coach.
Oh, it's so good. It's probably my favorite.
It's hard. It's hard to be on that level because in order to make a tweet that's humiliating, you have to be important enough for pretty much everyone who was trying to pay attention to you is able to know who you are, and then just be wrong about the single biggest thing in the most 180 degree way. It's so incredible. Good.
And he doubled down on it so much. Oh, it's awesome.
Yeah. Mass had been banging that drum even like as late as July this year. It was pretty ridiculous.
They got into some trouble today.
Oh, yeah? What happened?
Yeah, I don't know how much trouble it was, but they were just, like, shitting all over Yankee fans in, like, a very strange way, calling them, like, Goombas and saying that it was all, like, Goombas in the crowd. It was very weird.
Huh.
I saw a blog post about it, so I don't really know the full extent.
Interesting. Okay.
Is Sal Pelantonio really mad? He was on a, board of Italian American journalists who were against The Sopranos because they thought it was too scary.
That was like a that was like I remember that being
that was a thing, right? That was a thing.
I remember that.
So right now with the whole lineup done, we didn't really make our calls, but we obviously think JD is a way better hitter than Stanton, right? Like he's the complete package.
JD Martinez is probably the second best hitter on the planet, maybe third. I think Trout's the best, and then JD or Votto.
And then Betts.
Missing somebody? Yeah, Betts. I don't... Yeah.
The Betts only thing with Betts is that it Betts depends so much on hand speed that I feel like... I think Matt is doing this in his head. I thought you were going to say Betts instead of Votto, but I understand Votto.
Honestly, I was just thinking Betts has done this... I didn't even think about Betts. First of all, I think of Betts as more of an all-around player, which is stupid because obviously Trout is too. But also, Betts has done this, like, this is his first year going, like, this bananas. All the other guys have done it, like, a bunch of years. But
yeah.
It's not crazy to put Betts in the discussion either.
Yeah, I think he's definitely a top five hitter in baseball, just on hitting.
Yeah, sure.
Right now, how we have it, 6 advantages for the Yankees to 5 advantages for the Red Sox. Let's get to the bench here.
Well, I think that's a little misleading, because, I mean, so many of those are coin flips, and, like, the right field and DH, like, we all just – those were, like, slam dunks. You know what I mean?
Well, how so, I mean, let's
not
let's
every
go
advantage
through that,
is basically.
So, slam dunks, the Red Sox have JD and Betts, clearly. And Yankees, for slam dunks, it's catcher and second base, right? Do they have any other slam dunks outside of those? Everything else was pretty close, right? Well, I guess bullpen. Bullpen would be a slam dunk.
Yeah, we talked about that. That wasn't, like, as bad. But, yeah, you're right, I guess.
I think even though right field and DH are slam dunks for the Red Sox in terms of who we'd rather have, the fact that the guys on the other side are Judge and Stanton make that pretty close.
That's pretty wild. But, I mean, that just shows how top-heavy the Red Sox are and how amazing the top of the roster is.
Oh, absolutely.
That they're, like, lapping those guys.
For bench,
I mean, what's the position with the biggest difference? Catcher?
I think
probably
it's catcher.
Catcher, yeah.
I'd rank it catcher, then bullpen, then maybe...
I guess it depends what you think of Sanchez's defense. I don't think
his defense...
You
separate the bullpen from the closer?
I would just go with bullpen as a unit.
Depends how they plan to use Kimbrough. I mean, they better be planning to use Kimbrough better than they have for the last couple of years in the playoffs.
It depends on how much faith you have in Kimbrough, too.
I'm not doing this again.
Just saying. It's legit.
It's not.
Is it?
He needs a map to find the strike zone.
Easy, Jay.
Should we talk about benches?
Bring that sign to his Hall of Fame induction.
I won't.
A map of the strike zone.
I certainly won't be going to his Hall of Fame induction. That is definitely not something I'll do. Benches for these two teams. Sox bench. Matt, who's it going to be?
Let's see if I can do this off the top of my head. Swihart, Vasquez, Nunez, Holt, Pierce. Obviously, some of that's different platoons, but that's 5, right?
Yep. And for the Yankees, it's looking like Brett Gardner, Neil Walker, Romine, probably Adeni Echeverria. Who would be the other guy they carry? Tyler Wade, maybe?
Wade, Tereas.
I think Wade's been playing over Tereas. Greg Bird was inactive for the wild card, as was Tereas. Those two were both not on the roster.
I wonder if they carry Greg Bird as a pinch hitter.
Because he's a lefty?
Yeah.
Yeah, that might make some sense.
Yeah, they also, I mean, for the same reason that they've kept him around this whole time, they do like him. Voit has made it easy to play Voit, but they do like Greg Bird.
Yeah, he was like the big guy, the breakout guy before the season.
I still think he'll have a better career than Luke Voit.
I think
probably.
So.
I've never been a big Greg Bird guy, but it's probably a safe bet.
He actually does have a face like a bird.
Like D from Always Sunny?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. All right, so which unit you guys like better?
I know the Red Sox.
I do too.
Yeah, me too.
Just because
I don't think it's that close.
So seriously,
I think it would be better if they weren't carrying 3 catchers too, but it is what it is.
Well, Jake, when you were talking about first baseman, who could sneak in there? Don't forget about Blakey.
Yeah, Blake could sneak in at first.
Because I feel like, as much as I said, like, I wrote a column this week saying Blake Swihart should now be the starting catcher. I don't think that's going to be the case.
I don't think he's going to start any games because...
Well, he's definitely not going to start for Sale or Purcell.
I just mean at any position because they've talked about how he's their pinch runner. And so if they're not carrying Lynn, then that's the only guy. So
I mean,
I don't know if they're going to hold him for that.
I get that as the best use of your resources. I just wish you had better resources at that point.
I would rather have Lynn on the roster than Vasquez, but we've gone over that before.
I like Lynn. I like his versatility. I agree with you.
We can have Lynn Sanity too.
Brian, serious prediction. What are you going here?
Oh, I'm not making a prediction.
What the
you
fuck?
You have to make a prediction.
What do you mean? I'm not making a prediction.
Why not?
I don't. Because.
What's your reasoning here?
What, are you afraid to get roasted online?
Yeah, seriously.
What is the point?
What's the point of anything? We're all going
to
die.
Exactly. What is the point of anything?
This is a podcast. We're supposed to make predictions, man. Give the people what
they
want.
Fine, I'll say Red Sox in 4.
Okay.
Same.
I'll say Sox in 5. Not a lot of diversity on this panel.
There's no bias here.
I didn't want to do it, so I would like to claim diversity.
I wanted to make predictions also for the Indians-Astros series and talk about that just a little bit, because I think that has a potential to be just as good or not better of a series from a baseball perspective.
These are fucking...
The AL field is
strong teams going against each other.
Like, these two matchups could potentially be the two best matchups in the playoffs happening right now at the same time. Right? Like, these could be better than
the
World
speaking,
Series.
Speaking, whoever won these would play each other and that would probably be better. But, it's not a year where... First of all, the Red Sox have to be. In theory, it's a year where any team that lost in the AL could be like, well, look who we lost in. But that's not the case with the Red Sox. And then as far as predicting who's going to win a 5-game series, that's my bigger issue. It's like, I would say the Astros.
Yeah, they do have the hitting to go along with the pitching. It's crazy, the pitching in that series, though. The starting pitching matchups in Indians-Astros, they're all, like, all-stars going up against each other.
The bullpens are really good, too.
Is Keuchel even starting? Would he start Game 3? Would he?
He's probably the number 4, right?
Yeah, I think he's behind Morton.
Yeah. So they like, oh, we have a Cy Young guy, but he's not going to start maybe because he won't start.
The Red Sox have a Cy Young winner starting Game 3, so.
That's true.
I think the Indians actually have a better rotation than the Astros, really, when you look at it, because Bauer's
rotation?
Helping out too. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But Jake, and I
Cole
understand
and
Bauer's great.
Something else, man.
However, fuck Bauer.
Yeah, I mean, definitely don't like everything he does, or much of anything. But yeah, it's gonna be a tight one.
Yeah,
I actually think it's gonna be. I think it's gonna be Indians coming out of that one.
So I'm the tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah, Brian went Astros. That's right. Yeah.
I say Astros. I think they're the best team in baseball.
Interesting. Yeah, it's gonna be a good one. Let me ask you guys this before we get to listener questions. If the Red Sox don't beat the Yankees here, are you guys going to feel like the season was in any way a letdown?
Yes, but definitely yes. It also depends on how they lose. If they lose in 5 in an absolute classic, they could go either way, and there's lots of things that are just like, effectively poker hands where the cards go against you. That will suck, but I will understand it. If they lose in 3 games, then yes, I'll be very upset.
Yeah, I'm going to be upset and let down either way. It's not to say a race is 108 wins. I mean, obviously, this last 6 months have been incredible, but they've lost in the ALDS 2 years in a row. Doing it 3 years in a row would be pretty devastating, especially.
Well, it's the Yankees to me. Like, that's the problem.
See, I don't even care about that. I don't care who they're playing. I would be upset not making it past the first round no matter what. Not only because, but partially because of the takes. The takes would be strong if they lose another DS. And they might not even be necessarily wrong. but they will be strong.
If they do anything but win the World Series, the Takes are going to be bad.
See, they're going to, they would be at a different level if they lost in the first
round. That's true.
Yeah.
Sure. We're right now, we're in like the nightmare scenario is losing the ALDS.
Yes. I think it's going to be a disappointment of a year if they don't win the ALDS. And the reason why is because we need to see progress, right? And 108 wins is great. You know, we love that. This season's been so much fun, and I'm not going to take that away from it at all, even if they lose. But you got to beat the Yankees in the ALDS, and you got to show some progress. And I think that if you end up losing to the Indians or the Astros, either team will probably go on to win the World Series if, you know, they beat the Red Sox. I don't think it's as bad to lose in the league championship as it is to drop out after 108 wins in the DS for the third straight time.
And if you make the ALCS, it's odd, like, given the quality of these teams, it's going to be a classic. I mean, it doesn't matter who they face. It's going to be amazing baseball. So that the problem with the five-game series is that you can get three games where shit goes wrong. It's much harder to get four games of two incredibly good teams for everything to go wrong. So if they make the ALCS, even if they ended up losing, they wouldn't lose easily. And we will have also had the ALDS to look at. But my general thinking is that we should think of ourselves as the co-favorite with the Astros. They're the defending champions, and they deserve it. And they're, if anything, they're better. So,
Can you believe they improved upon last year's record? They won 101 wins last year.
I mean, this is like the English. It's like the English soccer version of football, where it's like the good teams don't rest. They strive to get better, and there's like six of them, and they're all just fighting amongst themselves. That's what this is. It's what the AL is, and the NL has a couple of them, and then some.
Isn't soccer version of football redundant, Brian?
Yeah, I was a little confused by that.
Yeah, soccer version of baseball. I said the wrong name. But, yeah, I mean, it's the haves and the have-nots, but it should make for amazing play.
All right, I agree. Let's get to our listener questions here. Our first one comes from Otis Hart, and he asks, excuse me, at what age does it become kind of pathetic to reply nice to a Michael Chavis MLB pipeline ranking asking for a friend? Chavis is ranked 69th. What do you guys think?
Never. As long as he's 69th, never.
I'm going to say 13.
13. I don't know if all 13-year-olds know to say nice. I would say never.
We're at this point, when everybody's growing up with the internet, 6-year-olds know to say nice.
I don't know, man. I teach 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and they don't all know stuff, I don't think.
Well, they're hiding it from you.
Oh, I hope so.
You're supposed to teach them, Jake.
So next question comes from Matthew Kitson, and he says, outside of the obvious Mookie JD sale, who do you think is the X factor for postseason success?
I would say I'm going to give two names because I'm going to cheat. But I'm going to say Barnes and Rodriguez. Because I do think it really comes down to the bullpens. And I think if Barnes pitches like Barnes did most of this year, and Rodriguez pitches like he has most of this year with the added stuff that short stints should give him, that combined with Kimbrel is a hell of a bullpen. And that can make for a deep run. On the other hand, we've seen Barnes be really bad. We know Rodriguez can go up and down, so... it could go either way, but I think that's probably what's going to swing October, if any one position group does.
Jake? I think it's Blake Swihart.
Oh, why?
Or I'm sorry. I guess I think I wish it would be some Blake Swihart. If Matt is correct, he doesn't play that often. It could be someone as my thing with the playoffs is the playoffs get sort of expanded on the national level. So if Benintendi were to break out of a slump,
see, I don't think that counts.
But you get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, but I mean, we're not worried about the national perception, right?
Why?
Like, I don't think any of the top four.
No, guys. you just want to Stan Barnes. I understand, but and
I
we all
always want Stan Barnes. No, I don't think any of the top four hitters count, and I don't think any of the top two starters count, or Kimbrough.
All right, yeah.
You don't think anybody except for like the criteria that gives you the two guys who are obviously correct.
I don't know. I think I have another good answer that one of you guys can take.
I think it's very clear that the X factor in this
Devers.
No.
Yeah,
no,
that's
no.
What I was thinking of.
No. Yankee killer himself, Steve Pierce.
Steve Pierce. I like that.
Steve Pierce is going to single-handedly win the ALDS for the Red Sox. I remember very distinctly Steve Pierce being the death knell of the Yankees division hopes this year, and I'm going to love every second of it.
I do think you're wrong, so I think that I hope you're right, but Devers is a good, very good choice because that's what we're talking about. If he just shows up and knocks the cover off the ball, they're going to win the series if he does that. So you can't necessarily say that about the guys they expect to knock the cover off the ball.
I don't think Pierce is a guy you expect to carry the series.
You clearly do, so I do think that you would think that, Jake, if that is your real name.
I don't know what you're saying anymore. Next question, Jake. He says, which non-star would be your sleeper to have a big playoffs if the Sox go deep into October?
Can we just answer this?
Are you quoting yourself?
It's literally the same question.
Next question, Elijah Webster. He says, should Brock Holt start at either first, second, or third in the playoffs? We were kind of talking about second, and none of us gave him any chance at third because he's got a noodle arm over there.
Yeah, definitely not third. I would say
yeah,
second.
Yeah, no, they're set at third. Maybe first. I mean,
yeah, I could
see it.
You can make an argument for either first or second, and I wouldn't really argue too hard against you.
Pierce is going to be too busy playing first, so I'm going to say.
You think second. Pierce is going to play against righties too?
I don't see why they wouldn't. Honestly, I don't get why they don't give him more run against righties because he crushes every time he's up at bat, and like he has had years in the past. Specifically, I think it was 2014 with the Orioles when he did do well against righties.
Yeah, I mean, guess who has two thumbs and wrote that on September 9th?
That
I do
guy?
Think he's playing more.
Yeah.
Me.
Yeah, good.
Very sick, but I still have two thumbs.
Nice. I agree with you, Mr. Two Thumb Matt.
Yeah.
Vinny has our next question. He says, why is Porcello starting game three over Nate Eovaldi and Erod?
Because Eovaldi is going to be available out of the bullpen in game one. I think it's
yeah, but I feel like that's also just part of the – if they didn't want that to be the case, they wouldn't make that the case. But I think the reason he's starting is that he won the Cy Young Award 2 years ago. He's a.
Yeah.
This is what I try. This is the whole thing with Swihart this year, with respect to Leon and Vasquez, is the only thing I'm trying to do is acknowledge the realities of a baseball team. And the reality is, if you have Rick Porcello behind David Price and Chrisell on your team, he's going to start game three because, for the same reason we talked about earlier, he's capable of winning it by himself. That is not true of everybody. It's definitely true of him.
When he's on, he's filthy. So
that one game he pitched, I mean, it was that was one of the best games I've ever watched, start to finish for a pitcher.
Eovaldi had one like that same series, not quite as good, but still pretty good.
Yeah, he did.
You got that game too, Jake?
No, it wasn't. I agree with Brian though. That
I
Porcello
agree too.
outing was like just about as good as it gets from the perspective of pitching for me. He was just hitting every single spot. It was amazing. Next one comes from Timothy Brooks, and he asks us, is Mookie terrible and a bum if the Red Sox do not sweep the Yankees?
Yes. Take away his MVP award, melt it down, make it into bullets, and shoot them into his feet.
That took some turns that I was not expecting. I know.
No, I love Mookie. Something in German here. Der for Ofizel asks us, what's better, 108 wins or not having to listen to Dave O'Brien anymore? I don't dislike Dave O'Brien, okay? I get that, like, he wears
I don't
on some
love
people,
him.
But, like, he's
I don't,
fine at his job.
Yeah, I don't love him, but it's not like that.
He's fine. He just sucked. He had to follow Orsillo.
Right.
And whoever had to follow Orsillo was
no, good. But Dave O'Brien is, like, he's a little slimy. He's a little, like,
I think he's slimy.
He wants it a little bit too much.
Yeah, he tries pretty hard. But I mean, Orsillo, that was part of Orsillo's thing, is that he just, like, not a lot of people can, like, care as little as he did, or at least, like, give off that air. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, but here's the thing. Orsillo and Remy were gold.
Yeah.
But it's a new era, and we have the natural resource now. It's just not the main guy.
Give me Dave and Eck, and that's a pretty fine boot.
You guys
Eck
know
and Remy together are that is the that is.
You
the,
guys know who's calling the Astros Indian series, right?
Orsillo and Eck, right?
Orsillo and Eck.
That's the dream team right there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna watch every single one of those games, in addition to them being great baseball games, but just for that.
I don't listen to broadcasts unless I'm doing a recap of the game. I might actually listen to those broadcasts.
excuse me. So I wanted to also mention, because we're on Red Sox announcers, but Tim Neverett and Joe Castiglione on the radio, who are usually great, were awful about that fan who hit the Giancarlo Stanton in the leg with the ball when he threw it back off the Green Monster. You would have thought that listening to those guys that they had taken like an RPG, like rocket launcher, and
yeah,
fired
I saw
it.
A lot of those takes.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it was a little
believe
extreme.
It was ridiculous. I mean, they just kept talking about how dangerous it was, and at one point I was driving because I'm often driving when I listen to the Red Sox, and I love Castiglione. I think Neverett I could take a leave, but they were pathetic about it, and I had to turn off the radio like 3 times. Get over yourselves, guys. He got hit in the leg. He gave no shit.
What happened
about
the
it.
First 2 times?
What's that?
What happened the first 2 times?
I wanted to listen to the game, so I turned it back
on. There you go. No, I hear you. Like, Castiglione, I can see doing it just because he's old. Neverett, like, I'm fine with Neverett, but he can be, like, staid. Like, a little bit overbearing on the side of propriety.
I have a feeling he's whoever his color man wants him to be.
That's a Jake.
Yeah.
That's a good observation.
Thank you.
Whoever is he is the color man, so whoever his announcer, his main guy wants him to be.
Yeah. All right. Well, that does it for the podcast. Thank you guys. For
Wait, listening. You weren't gonna go to John Leary's question that why is Brian? You weren't gonna ask.
Nobody has an answer for that.
Yeah, okay, good. Thank you, man.
Impossible. Thank you for listening to the show. If you enjoyed the podcast, please go on, rate, and review us. We've gotten a lot of those lately, so we appreciate that. We'll be with you throughout the entire playoffs here, during and after main events. We'll probably have a few emergency podcasts in here as well, so it might be a little bit more frequent than our regular schedule. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you can follow Over the Monster @OverTheMonster. You can follow Brian at Brian Joyner, Brian with a Y, Joyner with an I.
Oh, yeah.
You can follow Matt at Matt R.Y. Collins. And you can follow me at Dev Jake, and we will be with you next time. Nice.
Is that the first use of sound effects on the spot?
I think it is.